Welcome back to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weishaupt, and today we are already revisiting the conspiracy theories of Matthew Perry's death. This time we're going to take a second look. Some items we talked about in the first part are going to come up again. Grapes versus cranberries. The smiley face theory from Twitter, which is going to give us more insight into the Joker, some drownings, Aleister Crowley, ritual magic, because those were all part of the smiley face theory that William Ramsey was talking to me about 5 years ago on this show, as well as Matthew Perry's last tweets about Back to the Future. In 2018, I did a whole show about the occult symbolism of Back to the Future. There's so much here. We've got more penguins. We talked about the penguin from the Batman movie. Well, the penguins come up again. And then we're going to address some, I'm going to say, unsubstantiated conspiracy theories about vaccines, Epstein Island, more mysterious laptop theories, and some more findings from his memoir that we've got to talk about. He talks about the Batman. That's right. So, without further ado, let's get into it. If you haven't listened to part one, I highly advise. I think we published that 2 days ago, yesterday. 2 days ago? 2 days ago. 3 days ago. I don't know. I'll put a link in the show notes, of course. But in part one, we talked about the Instagram post that he had three, what I presume to be grapes, and lots of people are saying they're cranberries. I think I actually mentioned that in part one. Very controversial. I certainly can't tell. Heavy.com claims they were cranberries, so maybe we roll with that. And like we talked about in the part one, Mrs. Spryute looked up the cranberries, right? Because we talked about Dolores O'Riordan, how she died in a bathtub, and we talked about the occult symbolism of the bathtub and how it's the cleansing ritual, and a lot of times the goddess energies are sort of used for the passing over, you know, all this wacky stuff, right? And Mrs. Spryute looked up the cranberries. Their last album was called To the Faithful Departed, and the third track is When You're Gone. Okay. Yeah, I mean, does that mean the Illuminati killed Dolores and Matt Perry? I don't know. I don't know about that. You could chalk it up to Carl Jungian synchronicities. You know, whatever way you want to take it. This is a Rorschach episode. You take from it what you want, all right? And also, the first song on that album is Hollywood, which, you know, Hollywood's got its own, we're going to talk about that with the laptop theory. Oh, also, before I forget, because I posted a short video on Instagram and TikTok. The one on TikTok, I'm not going to say it's going viral, but it's getting a lot of traction. And a lot of people felt like I was being a little bit, what do you call it? Like I wasn't being sensitive enough to the whole thing. And, you know, if you listen to my part one, I already ran through the whole script, right? Sad, this guy's had a family, like I don't like talking about this stuff, it's tragic, blah, 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 right? And I stand by all that, right? Like I'm not trying to be, what do you call it? What do you call it when someone, sorry, my brain is really screwy today. Someone died, opportunistic, there you go. Whew. Almost wasn't able to get that one out. I'm honestly not trying to be opportunistic. I just find, I think my niche in the realm of conspiracy theory has got to be occult symbolism. And then furthermore, what they call like 14 synchro mysticism. You know, because I find all these things very interesting to me. It's very intriguing that you've got all this sort of strange symbolism that stacks up. I don't know that it means any specific person is involved. I certainly don't know. I'm not there. But I'm definitely not trying to be dismissive or insensitive. You already know the drill. Listen to part one for more on that, I guess. But yeah, no, I mean, it's tragic, right? People love Chandler. This guy meant a lot to these people. You know, I get it. It's like, you know, how much I love Twin Peaks. When the log lady died, I mean, I wasn't into Twin Peaks when she died, but when I found out she died, it was a very sad story that I read about. So I get it. Moving on. Matthew Perry's Twitter account, he's got a photo of himself with a giant smiley face. He's kind of sleeping with a, I don't know, giant smiley face. And I'll put those images on the Instagram so you can see what I'm talking about, at Isaac Weishaupt. Oh, follow me on TikTok, too. They banned my first one. I think it's been reinstated. I don't care. The new one's Isaac Von Hammerstein. Good luck trying to figure that out. All my stuff is at allmylinks.com/IsaacW. You can find links to everything there. Okay? Good. The smiley face killers was a concept we talked about with William Ramsey back in 2018. Again, I'll put the link in the show notes. You can check out that whole episode. We talked about a slew of topics, okay? Of which includes William Ramsey preparing some research on the occult and the smiley face killers. It's this theory about an organized ring of folks, maybe conducting murders and leaving the call sign of the smiley face somewhere nearby. And it usually was related to drug overdoses and drownings. So very sus, right? Because Matthew Perry, they say there was no drugs, but they found a bunch of prescriptions in the house. But they did say he drowned. So, I mean, those are a couple of, and he did have a history of drug abuse. So, the smiley face thing maybe pertains here. In fact, I think when this first happened, when Perry first died, William Ramsey had retweeted the something about the smiley face being on his profile. So, then you had, on that episode, we talked about the occult meaning of the smiley face and how it came through in Alan Moore's Watchmen series, and Alan Moore, a prominent occultist and magician. We talked about the Joker and nihilism on there and 9/11 programming. And, of course, we did talk about the Joker in the part one of the Matthew Perry show, because we talked about how the most infamous sort of Batman movie was Dark Knight Rises, and we had that incident with the Aurora, Colorado movie theater, and that guy was allegedly dressed up like the Joker. Then we talked about Aleister Crowley and how he concealed meaning through blinds to non-initiates, meaning people weren't able to pick up what was actually happening here. And he talked about Crowley was allegedly into blood sacrifices, including that of infants. That's why he got kicked out of the Abbey of Thelema in Italy. Because supposedly an infant went missing, and they pointed the finger towards him and his little hippie commune he had going on of ritual magic and sacrifice. Now, why that's relevant is because in part one, we talked about the Hunter's Moon being a sacrifice moon of killing animals. And that's the night that Matthew Perry died. We also talked about Crowley and the connection to 9/11, because 11 is the number of magic, okay? Well, what you're going to find out today when we get to the end of this show, we're going to talk about how the 11th chapter, the final chapter in Matthew Perry's memoir, is called Batman. Plot spoiler. We're going to talk about that at the end, though. But 11 is the number of magic. It's supposedly the number of the new age, the new aeon. And on that episode with the smiley face killers with William Ramsey, we talked about how 77 is a combination of 7 as a mystic number and 11 as the septenary. I'm probably mispronouncing that. Whereas 77 is listed as the number for Oz, the sex magic formulation. And that's what we talked about in part one. with Liber Oz, book 77 for Aleister Crowley. That was the one that had the idea that the slave shall serve, and it had the declaration of the new age, the Aeon of Horus. And that was important because in the Batman movie, we talked about the Penguin, whose name was Oz. The Penguin, remember? The Penguin ran the club within the club. He was the leader of the supposed Illuminati, you could argue. And someone commented on, I don't remember if it was Instagram or TikTok, that in the Batman storyline, the secret societies were always trying to kill him. I didn't know that. I don't get into it that deep. So that might be where the movie The Batman has the Penguin with the secret society, maybe. I don't know. Now, sticking to his Twitter with the smiley face profile, his last tweets were on October 26th. He had one single tweet on October 26th, but for comparison purposes on Instagram, his last Instagram posts were October 23rd. So these are actually more recent, the tweets. On October 26th, he tweeted, or X'd, or whatever dumb thing I'm supposed to say. He tweeted, perfect movies. 1, Back to the Future. 2, Midnight Run. 3, ? I'm Mattman. Now, I don't know what he meant by that, obviously. I guess you fill in the blank for number 3. Number 2, Midnight Run, I've actually never seen. Number 1, Back to the Future, we talked about in 2018. I talked about this whole idea of looking at the film as an alchemical journey of the reconciliation of opposing forces, of turning 2 into 1. That's the 9/11 ritual, taking the Twin Towers down and rising the One World Tower. There's an alchemical process there. Was it coordinated? Was it conducted? I certainly don't know. But that paralleled the story of Back to the Future, because if you recall, in the hometown, they had the Twin Pines Mall. And when Marty McFly goes back to the future and messes with stuff, you get a little butterfly effect. Comes back in the future. Now it's the Lone Pines Mall. Goes from 2 to 1. That was actually a really fun episode. I'm going to put the link in the show notes. You should listen to that one, because who doesn't love Back to the Future? But what's even more interesting, on that episode where we talked about a lot of different concepts, we talked about how Marty McFly is the Luciferian Enlightenment. He is the rebel angel. The whole time he's the bad boy. And the lightning bolt is the savior to save the day. Remember? Because it's got to hit the clock tower. And they also, one of the prominent songs is Earth Angel. He's the angel on earth, the fallen angel. And the whole song, remember when Marty gets the guitar and plays it, his mom, after he's done trying to bang his mom, he's at the prom and he's singing Johnny Be Good. And that's a song about the Faustian bargain of selling one's soul to the devil, which is precisely the ideas we talked about in part 1. Straight from Matthew Perry's memoir, he says that he made a deal for fame. Another tweet he had on October 24th says, let's make stigmas a stigma. I'm Mattman. # mental health. No idea what that means. You got me. Let's see, what else do I got in here? I got a little grab bag of stuff. Oh, shout out to Donut. Donut's been posting about this. If you follow Donut, we did a big show, me, Donut, and Juan on Juan Ayala a few weeks ago. That was a banger. Everyone enjoyed that one. So thank you for listening to that one. But Donut, he had mentioned about how there were episodes of Friends where Chandler's in the tub, right? And sure enough, season 8, episode 13, there's an episode called The One Where Chandler Takes a Bath. I saw a clip. Chandler's, in fact, taking a bubble bath. Now, I didn't see anything like him drowning or symbolism that stood out, but I also know nothing of Friends. That's probably the most Friends I've ever watched. was that 2-minute clip. So more to come on that. Jury's still out on that. You know, but the idea is that they oftentimes show us the bathtub symbolism as the conducted sacrifice. Just an idea. Now, we talked about the Batman and the Penguin. Penguin being the Illuminati, right? Someone mentioned to me, hey, Matthew Perry's talking, he used to talk about penguins all the time. So I looked it up. And I'm assuming this is the information that the person was trying to convey to me. On people.com, they had an article, and it says, this is back when Matthew Perry was alive. It says, though Perry tried to hide his condition, the dramatic changes in his appearance each year reflected his state of sobriety. His castmates were understanding and they were patient, he adds. It's like penguins. Penguins in nature, when one is sick or when one is injured, the other penguins surround it and prop it up. They walk around it until that penguin can walk on its own. That's kind of what the cast did for me. And I looked through his memoir, and this is what he says in the memoir. In nature, when a penguin is injured, the other injuries group around it and prop it up until it's better. That's what my co-stars on Friends did for me. There were times on set when I was extremely hungover, and Jen and Courtney, being devoted to cardio as a cure-all, had a life cycle exercise bike installed backstage. In between rehearsals and takes, I'd head back there and ride that thing like the fires of hell were chasing me. Anything to get my brain power back to normal. I was the injured penguin, but I was determined to not let these wonderful people and this show down. So yes, there is a link to the penguins. How does that fit into the big theory? I couldn't tell you. I don't really know. It is odd. I will give you that. It is odd. Moving on to, since we're in the speculative realm of conspiracy, I would be remiss to not mention the vaccine drama. There was, and I thought this was strange. I actually did an episode with my wife on our podcast we do called Breaking Social Norms. And I made mention to the vaccine thing because a lot of conspiracy people, it's been claimed by the news outlets, the mainstream media outlets, that conspiracy theorists are saying that Matthew, I can't even think, what's his name? Matthew Perry died from the vaccine. And I thought, boy, that's kind of weird because I follow a whole lot of conspiracy theorists and I sure didn't see a lot of people saying that. I don't doubt that people were saying it. But I think the news is trying to make something out of nothing, is what I said on Breaking Social Norms. So I dug into it a little bit more. The news is claiming that the hashtag died suddenly was trending on Twitter. Again, I didn't see that. That doesn't mean it didn't happen. And it goes back to Stu Peters, the guy who made that documentary that said COVID's in the tap water. And that's how you get COVID, if you recall. Part of the QAnon circus that has brought shame to my beloved conspiracy world. But hey, you know what? I'm just a hater. I'm a hater. That Stu Peters guy, I don't know him. I don't follow him. I know he was trying to make it big as a rapper just a couple years ago. And He made this work, this conspiracy angle. He's got 500,000 followers on Twitter and does documentaries and all kinds of stuff. So, I mean, what do I know, right? I'm just a nobody sitting back here. But conspiracy theorists aren't exempt from conspiracy theories, okay? I would toss the theory out that some people say sensational things so they can get a following online, so that they can turn that into money. Then Newsweek said, MAGA pushes vaccine conspiracy theory after Matthew Perry's death. So now they're just saying MAGA. It says here, the death of Friends star Matthew Perry has led MAGA influencers to push conspiracy theories without providing evidence. that the COVID vaccine was possibly to blame for his passing. When Perry's death was announced, several MAGA influencers and right-wing vaccine skeptics blamed the COVID-19 inoculation as being somehow involved despite no cause of death being released. Vaccine skeptics referred to Perry's previous endorsements of vaccines during the pandemic, including a May 24 post on X, where he promoted a shirt that paraphrased a popular line used by Perry's character Bing, quote, "Could I be any more vaccinated?" Candace Taylor, a 2022 Georgia Republican gubernatorial primary candidate, said on X, "Not a conspiracy when it is truth. Correlation doesn't lie. That's what all research does to find significance. Stop being offended and get on your knees and pray for healing. Find Jesus. He paid for all his sickness. Healing is in him." She didn't capitalize the H in him when referring to Jesus. Naughty, naughty. What else did she say? Okay, blah, blah, blah. Matthew Perry is dead at 54. Sounds like he drowned in the jacuzzi. Wonder if it's COVID vaccine related. He often talked about how he was proud to be extremely vaccinated. Oh, that was Laura Loomer, far right political activist. Okay, so, I mean, is it conspiracy theorist people or is it political people who think they're conspiracy theorists? I don't know. But I even went on InfoWars. I didn't even see Alex Jones talking about this. I mean, it doesn't mean he didn't or that he won't, but it seems to me that this is all playing into the agenda to politicize conspiracy theories. Because look, I mean, the vaccine thing is, it's sus, we'll say, right? But we certainly don't know what happened here. You know my stance on it. I dug deep into it. I found reason to be more skeptical than I was before. But I also think, like, hey, you know what? Big Pharma's a tool. It's your choice as to what tools you want to use, you know? Some people don't trust it, and they should be allowed to not trust it and not take whatever they want to take. Some people want to take it because they trust in it, and it helps them, and it does help them. So, I mean, I don't know. It's this weird extremeness of it to just say, oh, everything in the medicine and big pharma and the hospital system is bad and evil, and that's just not the truth. And it becomes a bit more subjective, right? And that's why I kind of tapped out of that whole thing when the pandemic was getting really, really heated. It just was like, man, this is becoming more subjective. And like, some people want to try certain things. Some people don't want to try things. And like, everyone should be allowed to have the freedom to choose which route they go. Right. That's kind of where I end up with it. Like, I don't care if people are pro or anti. You could support either one, honestly. I just think it's down to personal, subjective, whatever. But that's not to take away from the main theory, which I do subscribe to, that they do want to push a technocracy where we just blindly, quote-unquote, trust the science. Well, who's paying for that science? Because studies can be manipulated to whoever's paying the bills, right? Moving on. On YouTube, I saw, because someone mentioned, like, oh, did you hear there's a laptop? He had a laptop. I said, oh, here we go with the laptops again. Good God. I don't know if this is the originator of it, a massive channel called Viral Vision on YouTube. How they're allowed to be on there, don't ask me. They had a video with zero supporting evidence, and that's my whole thing. Like, I don't care. Like, we could talk about conspiracy theories that are unfounded all day. I enjoy that. I think that's fun. But if you state something as a fact, then you better have some kind of evidence. Otherwise, you need to say, I think this is what's going on, or I have an opinion, or whatever, right? Like, it doesn't help anyone when people are out here just guessing stuff that they have no supporting evidence for. So, let me read to you. They have a video, and I'm going to read you from the Because the video basically repeats the same information that the paragraph below the video's description says. Okay. Matthew Perry laptop found with 334 files missing and new memoir deleted. In a shocking turn of events, new evidence suggests that a laptop believed to belong to the late Matthew Perry has been discovered with a significant number of its files missing. And how do you even know that? You could get my laptop and be like, oh my God, he deleted 1,000 files last week. Like, yeah, sometimes you delete files on a computer. That happens. I like how precise they are too. I guess they're implying that since he died, some nefarious organization deleted the files. That's the theory. Sources close to the investigation say that as many as 334 files were deleted or are untraceable. Most notably, a manuscript rumored to be Perry's upcoming memoir. See, and this is another criticism I have. Like, he literally just released a memoir. He literally just released one last year. But he's got another one, apparently. Okay. Which had garnered significant interest for its alleged revelations about the entertainment industry, is nowhere to be found on the device. The laptop's discovery has stirred a whirlwind of speculation and theories. Some believe that the missing memoir might have contained information sensitive enough to be intentionally removed, while others think it might have been an accidental data loss or even a publicity stunt. The absence of the files has deepened the mystery surrounding Perry's final days and the supposed explosive content of his memoir. Which, like I said, he already published one, so okay. Authorities and cyber forensics experts, you know, so many questions. This is not journalism, my friends. Authorities, who, what, where, when, why, how. Cyber forensics experts, who, what, when, where, how. You know, just people are telling me, people are saying. Authorities and cyber forensics experts are currently examining the device, trying to retrieve any deleted information and determine whether the laptop had been tampered with. Meanwhile, fans worldwide are eagerly awaiting any updates, hoping for a glimpse into the mind of the beloved actor in his final days. The intrigue surrounding Matthew Perry's missing laptop files intensified. An anonymous insider reportedly leaked that Perry had backed up his memoir elsewhere, suggesting the existence of a physical copy or another digital backup. This fueled a new wave of conspiracies and wild speculations, with some fans even embarking on their own amateur investigations. The content presented on this channel, Viral Vision, is intended for entertainment purposes only. All right, blah, blah. Then it's like the whole thing, right? And the source, they on the video, they're like, there's an anonymous forum poster named JD dropping all this info. I don't know, man. Seems guaranteed the next conspiracy floating is going to be, he had a documentary he was working on about saving the kids, just like Chester Bennington and Chris Cornell, which I've yet to see the proof of that. I've yet to see the evidence of that. Everyone says it exists. I even hunted down the most. One person had this whole thing of like telling me where the video was, and they pulled a chunk from an MTV interview with Chester Bennington from who knows when. And I actually tracked down that original full length interview, and he says nothing about what they said he did. Again, I'm not saying that's not the truth. I'm just saying I'm not believing it until you prove it to me. Right? And I tried. When that Chester Bennington and Chris Cornell thing happened, I tried to find it. I couldn't. And, you know, if someone's got like the hard proof, like the video of him or Chris, or Chester or Chris saying, yeah, I'm working on a thing to save the kids right now, I send it, please. I'd love to see it. And I guarantee this is what's next with the conspiracy crew here. And that's the problem, right? With social media and YouTube and podcasting, any idiot like me can become a conspiracy theorist. I mean, like I say, don't listen to me, man. I try to give you the evidence so you can take from it what you want. Next one, in a very last one in the speculative arena, they're also saying he went to Epstein Island, another oldie but a goodie. And I have a copy of the flight logs on my computer that I downloaded forever ago from somewhere, and I don't even know if it's a good valid copy or not, because I didn't mark where I got it from. So I don't even want to use that as an example, but I didn't see it on there. So I was like, well, let me go find like the actual flight logs, because they're out there somewhere. Gawker had a link to it. International Business Times had a link to it. They both go to Document Cloud website. But sure enough, I couldn't get them. I couldn't get a copy. So that's the theory. Some people say that Lisa Kudrow was on the flight logs. I couldn't find that. There's probably someone out there that has the verified, because here's the problem. The flight logs I have on my, as a PDF on my computer, the names are typed in, but I know that I've seen the original, like, court, you know, flight logs, and it was written in pen, like cursive almost, right? Like the names of who was on the flights. So jury's out on that one for me, because I'm like, I don't trust the one that I've got. I got to find like the official one, save it, and mark where I got it and all that. A lot of comments about hot tubs being deadly, and I thought, no way. But then I went to AARP's website, and they talk about how deadly a hot tub can be. All right? If the chlorine levels aren't right, you can get cryptosporidium from fecal matter. But you can get that anywhere in any public pool. I was in a public pool once, and they made us evacuate because some toddler pooped his shat himself. So that's why they do that. But yeah, a lot of people, if they swallow the water, so like, if you're in a hot tub, for the love of God, don't put your head underwater. What are you doing? You can get Legionnaire's disease. I thought that was something from World War II, but you can mess your lungs up breathing steam. In fact, I found it interesting because AARP had on their site, it says, people who are ages 50 and older have weakened immune systems and or identify as former smokers should consider not using a hot tub or even sitting near one. That's what the CDC says. Because the amount of water vapor around a hot tub can vary, there isn't a uniform distance from a hot tub that people with an increased risk for Legionnaire's disease should maintain. And Matthew Perry, he was over 50, he was a smoker, had tons of health issues, so maybe he shouldn't have been in this hot tub. Maybe it is as simple as that. And then finally, AARP's website says, since the heat from a hot tub expands blood vessels, causing blood pressure to drop, people who already have low blood pressure can pass out in a hot tub, which can lead to drowning. Drinking alcohol while using a hot tub can also combine with the heat to lower blood pressure and impair judgment. I mean, maybe he had low blood pressure, passed out from the blood vessel dilation, and drowned. I mean, that's possible. Maybe any one of those things could have happened. I didn't realize how dangerous they were. And finally, this Batman drama. I read on People, it says, according to a source, Perry's recent post about Batman stemmed from an idea the actor had been working on for a series. He was having fun, says the source. The source says Perry also had just signed on to act in a new drama film, Unworthy, which was on hold due to the strike and had recently moved into his new home after renovating it. He was incredibly happy, the source adds. Then in another People article, it said, candid about his relapses, he has been to rehab 15 times over the years. Perry has become well-versed on the tools necessary to maintain sobriety. I'm pretty healthy now, he says, before joking. I've got to not go to the gym much more because I don't want to only be able to play superheroes. And of course, that's a joke, right? But, I mean, he's talking about being Batman, this Batman character. So, I mean, I don't know. Again, a little bit of a Rorschach test. Take that for what it's worth. It's just some more information to add to my part one, right? Because we were trying to unpack the ideas of Batman and why he's obsessed with it and things like that. And the idea is maybe he was setting up to be a sort of funny superhero named Batman. I don't know. And then finally, in his memoir, the last chapter is titled Batman. All right. But I'm going to read you from the first chapter. The ending of the first chapter says, "As I've said, for the entire stay in those hospitals, I was never left alone, not once. So there is light in the darkness. It's there. You just have to look hard enough for it. After 5 very long months, I was released. I was told that within the year, everything inside me would heal enough so that I could have a second surgery to reverse the colostomy bag. But for now, we packed my overnight bags. 5 months of overnights. And we made the voyage home. Also, I'm Batman." It's all so strange. But that's from his memoir, Friends, Lovers, and the Big Terrible Thing. Is that the name of the book or is that the name of the chapter? Must be the name of the book. Anyway. Okay, so let's move on to the last chapter. It's actually named Batman, which I found odd that it's the last chapter in the book. Chapter 11, nonetheless, which is the number of magic, which we were talking about earlier with Aleister Crowley and the New Age, right? And if you read it, it reads it as a reflection of his life. And it's actually kind of sad because it feels like I'm not going to say a suicide note, but a note one might write before they die is how I read it. I'm going to read you the very last paragraph. "Who am I going to be? Whoever it is, I will take it on as a man who has finally acquired the taste for life. I fought that taste, man. I fought it hard. But in the end, admitting defeat was winning. Addiction, the big terrible thing, is far too powerful for anyone to defeat alone. But together, one day at a time, we can beat it down. The one thing I got right was that I never gave up. I never raised my hands and said, 'That's enough. I can't take it anymore. You win.' And because of that, I stand tall now, ready for whatever comes next. Someday you too might be called upon to do something important, so be ready for it. And when whatever happens, just think, what would Batman do? And do that." I don't know. Maybe he just loved Batman. Maybe it's as simple as that. Maybe he looked up to Batman as his favorite superhero. In fact, earlier in the book, I didn't annotate it, but there's a section where he talks to his dad, and he talks about how his dad is Superman and he's Batman. Maybe it's just that simple. He was just talking about Batman because he liked Batman, and then he died because his blood vessels dilated and he passed out. Then the acknowledgments. Where did I write this down? Oh, yeah, it was kind of dark because he rattles off a bunch of names. And then he says, "And Jamie, sweet magical Jamie, whom I will miss and think about until the day I die." So the book, I mean, it felt like very much like he was facing his own mortality. It seems odd he would die. I mean, he wasn't the healthiest guy on earth, but it seemed like he had turned things around. But maybe he had done enough damage to his body that, you know, being in the hot tub hit some switches and made him pass out and he drowned. Maybe it's that simple. But there you go. Again, a Rorschach of conspiracy for you. Some people want to dig deep into the conspiracy realm behind this. I certainly don't know the answer. I know there's a lot of weird synchronicities here. Symbolism. Strange connections. And that's all I really wanted to talk about because I find those things interesting. And that's all it is, right? So, you know, again, you know, rest in peace, Matthew Perry, his family, his loved ones, whoever, you know, close to him. He meant a lot to a lot of people. His character, you know, and I know the feeling because, you know, I look up to characters and celebrities sometimes. And it's a real bummer for a lot of people, so. Okay, there you go. Until I come back with a part 3, and that's the latest findings. Stay subscribed to the show. Actually, I've got some great interviews coming up here this month. We're going to have some mega bangers coming here soon. So stay subscribed to the show. If you like the show, drop a 5-star I need all the help I can get, because when you're trying to be a rational voice looking at these things, it's easy to get overshadowed by people who are just trying to get famous or notorious or whatever they're trying to do. If you want to help the show out, drop a 5-star. Okay? All right. Till next time, stay woke.